Okay, this is lesson six. Jesus heals the lepers. This lesson covers two stories of the healing of the leper. The first story we find in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and is the story of a single leper that comes before Jesus. The second story is only found in Luke, and the story of the 10 lepers. I'm going to break open both of these stories, but for different reasons. So let's look at the one leper who comes before the Lord first. In each of the Gospels, the story of this healing takes place right after Jesus, the Lord, delivered the Sermon on the Mount. There had been a few miraculous healings, but this was still near the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Jesus tells the leper not to say anything, but go to the priest to offer yourself based on the law of Moses. You can find this law that Jesus refers to in Leviticus 14, 2 through 9. This basically means there needs to be a ritual cleansing of this person so he can enter back into the temple to pray. Lepers were ostracized and forced to live in colonies outside the city. They were no longer able to be part of the community for fear of having the disease pass on to others. There was no touching, no one could come near them, nor could they come near anyone else. They had to put bells on their clothes and yell, "Unclean, unclean," if they were going to pass anyone on the road. But this particular leper defied the rules by coming near Jesus. And Jesus defied the rules by reaching out and touching the leper. Jesus also tells the healed man not to say anything to anyone, just go to the temple. I always found this odd. How could this person not tell anyone? His family was going to ask questions when he showed up back home. If it were me, I'd want to shout it from the rooftops that I was healed. But in thinking about what Jesus said, maybe it's more like, don't get distracted. Go straight to the priest. Get cleansed. Get in line with what the law says, so you can worship and give thanks to God for what God has given you today. How often are we distracted so much so that we do not go to God to give thanks for what he's done for us today? While I prayed with this scripture, the line that struck me was, "Lord, if you wish, you can make me clean." In each version of the story, the man comes, pays homage to the Lord, then begs in some way. But the verse that is stated for us to know is, "Lord, if you wish, you can make me clean." This was a statement of fact, not a question. The leper had no question that Jesus could do it. He had faith in Jesus so much so that there was this kind of unspoken, "But your will be done. Lord, if you wish, you can make me clean, but your will be done. I've come before you. You have the power. I will accept whatever you have it for me." In Mark, it says Jesus was moved with pity. Jesus sees the beautiful creation of his Father and desires this person to be clean. In every gospel, Jesus says, "I will do it. Be made clean." It seems there was no hesitation on Jesus' part. And what a wonderful thing to know about our Lord. "Lord, if you wish, you can make me clean. I will do it. Be made clean." When we receive absolution in the sacrament of confession, it is Jesus saying to us, "I will do it. I will forgive. I will show mercy. Be made clean." Have you ever been rejected or ostracized, left out, discriminated against? What did that feel like? I dare say we've all had childhood, so something like that has happened. But more importantly, have you ever rejected, ostracized, left out, or discriminated against someone else? Have you thought about how that must feel for that person? Can you think of the leprosy of today? The poor, the meek, those who mourn, those who hunger, the persecuted. Jesus calls these lowly blessed. I dare say we've all experienced rejection. It is painful, it is lonely, and is definitely a lack of charity. So if I put myself in the place of this leper, I would probably be afraid of the repercussions of breaking the rules to come before Jesus. But the desire to be part of my family, part of my community, part of living again, would be more compelling, I think. It would be the stronger feeling. Also, what would I have to lose? I've already lost everything and I'm living in a colony full of death. I would want to choose life. I can understand why this man took the risk, and what a joy he must have had in reuniting with his family and friends. So for me, this scripture story calls me to look at the leprosy in my own life. Look at the sin that is on the inside that eats away my soul. But it also calls me to faith. It says, Lord, I know I am unclean. I have sinned. I have need of healing. If you wish, I will be made clean. In faith and with a contrite heart, your will be done. I'd like to turn now to the healing of the 10 lepers. This is found in Luke's gospel and near the end of Jesus' ministry. Jesus is heading to Jerusalem and traveling through Samaria and Galilee. The 10 lepers show up at a distance and start shouting, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Interestingly, Jesus looks up and says, go show yourselves to the priests. And it says they were healed on the way there. Could you imagine? They were not healed at the moment with Jesus. They were healed on the way to the priests. That means they had to take a step in faith, a literal step in faith, to journey to the priests. What was their conversation, I wonder? Why did Jesus tell us to do that? The priests won't want us near them. Then one of them, realizing he'd been healed, runs back and pays homage and gives thanks. Now, usually when we hear this story, the homilies and commentaries focus on the one that returns to pay homage and thanks to Jesus. This is very important. It's important because it is the Samaritan that does it. So this person had two strikes against him. He was a Samaritan and a leper. Now he is healed. He can be welcomed back into society, and he is an example of what it means to have a grateful heart. Also, a Samaritan's faith in Jesus brings him salvation. But what about the other nine? If I put myself in the place of one of the nine, what would be going through my head? My first thought would be, Jesus, the master who just healed me, told me to go to the priests. I'm going to the priests. I'm a rule follower. I'm my mother's daughter. Follow the rules. So I would want the ritual cleansing in order to be right with God and the law. Then I would want to be with my family. I would want to rejoice with my loved ones. I'd want to tell everyone what Jesus had done for me. Does that mean I'm not grateful? I think I would be very grateful. Knowing me, I would want to gather up all my loved ones and bring them to Jesus to meet him. I think that the one who came back, being a Samaritan, did go to the priest. He went to the ultimate high priest, Jesus Christ. His return spoke to the fact that Jesus' salvation is for all humankind, because Jesus says to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." That faith is in Jesus. So I want you to think of a time when you were healed of something, or maybe you experienced mercy and forgiveness in an almost tangible way. What if you were estranged from a loved one and there was a breakthrough? What would your reaction be? Would you want to seek that person out and embrace them? I would. Doesn't mean I'm not grateful to God for the healing. As a matter of fact, I would want to proclaim it to others. More than anything else, the joy and relief that is felt when healing happens is something to celebrate. So as I ramble on with my thoughts on this, I think the best way to sum this up is to recognize that we are all unclean. Jesus Christ sees the beauty behind the sin and desires more than anything to wipe away the dirt and the muck of sin to make us clean. His sacrifice on the cross makes us clean. Just as he reached out his hand to cleanse the leper, he stretched out his arms on the cross to cleanse our souls. The blood of his sacrifice makes us clean.